Podtecular, episode 299.1, Halo 4 Forge, for July 11th, 2012. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I'm going to call us Dafflink.
I'm the guest host, ODSTEJY.
Daff, you just kind of plowed through about the first three hurdles and kind of stopped.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we have ODSTEJY here. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We did try to do a recording of this earlier this week, but my recording software did not decide to work that day and did not record anything. So we are re-recording this, and we did have Karts on, and Karts has been a long-time community member.
Shout out to Karts.
Yeah, shout out to Karts. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to get a hold of him over the past 2 days, so we'll have to get him on one of our future shows. We're really sorry, Karts. We really are. So... yeah, don't hate us. We'll get you back on the show. But
you stuck around for this long, and I don't know if you're going.
Yeah, probably. Gosh, if you build on us now, that'd be very, very ironic.
Yeah.
So we had some stuff come out of RTX, and for those of you who don't know, that's the Rooster Teeth Expo down in Austin, Texas. The big announcement that we got was Halo 4 Forge. We had our first live demonstration of the capabilities in Forge, or what we are going to see for the most part. And there were a lot of little things in there that I think a lot of Forgers are going to really appreciate. Now, Daft has a qualm with how Jess opened it, and I think a lot of us are kind of just used to it by now, but it's still a little ridiculous.
Wait, no, there was only she didn't open it as any such. I'm talking about, okay, so when they're showing off the dynamic lighting, when they construct the base, and like, whoa, dynamic lighting, which was, I thought was very cool. I like the dynamic lighting a lot. They're like, the official name of this software is like really long. It has multiple syllables, you know, which is, no, it's fine. It's, you know, it's whatever. And then BS Angel, Jessica Shea, whatever, she was like, oh yeah, and then somewhere in that name is there's probe is in there. Ha ha ha. We'll just leave it at that. Ha ha ha. Like probe. Ha, sex joke. Ha ha. And I just thought, like, I don't know, turned me off, like, just a little bit. Like, you know, I mean, I wasn't like I wasn't like overly offended, but I was just like that just isn't necessary. Like, it's just kind of like off color. I felt like, why even like make that joke? Like, why?
Right. If you look at it though, that's almost a gamer culture thing.
Yeah. So we're a bunch of sex perverts.
Yeah.
Speak for yourself.
Look at the majority of the people on the internet. Look at whenever you're in a group of like close friends, or at least for a lot of the people I play with, like there's those dirty jokes that get dropped pretty frequently. Now, they might not get dropped every time you play together, but they come up very frequently.
And come on, Daft. It's like us two together. Like, come on, we have plenty of dirty jokes.
I'm not trying to be like up on a high horse here. I just feel like, and yes, it's a Rooster Teeth Expo, and yes, she would never get away with it at E3. I understand that. I just like one man's opinion. This is the personal opinion. I just felt it was just a little off color, unnecessary. I don't need to hear that. Like, just keep it yourself. Keep it to your home life, BS Angel. We don't need that for Halo. You're not promoting Leisure Suit Larry, all right? Halo.
While we're on the subject of that video, that whole video kind of seemed odd to me. I was expecting like a Vidoc or something, and it was, yeah, I guess it was, it felt kind of like strewn together, and the one that I saw was a little, not very high quality, but I don't know, it was cool. I like some of the stuff they showed off. I mean, it looks like you're going to be able to build maps in like 5 minutes now, you know what I mean? Like,
well, they didn't record the, like, the gameplay straight off of it. They just basically took, someone recorded the stream and put it on YouTube.
Yeah. Okay, I see what you mean, yeah. That's why it's so bad.
So, yeah, it's low quality, but you get the general sense of what's going on.
Yeah, those magnets are definitely going to be a game changer. I think that's probably the biggest thing, because, like,
Right.
You finally have a locking mechanism now, and
and we'll get to those. Let's go in order. Let's pick this thing apart piece by piece.
Yeah.
So the first thing that we get to that is really shown off is the ability to know what item you're picking. So whenever you're hovering over an item now and you have your little monitor icon over something, anything that you highlight or anything that you're currently would be selected is highlighted in green or red if it's locked. So you know what piece you're picking up now instead of having to guess at which one you might be selecting or deleting. And I think a prime example of that is whenever you're placing spawn points and you go to move the spawn point or delete the spawn point and instead you delete the floor beneath it. So
I've done that a lot of times. Yeah, that's...
Yeah. So it's stuff like that. It's a lot of these things in here are just really simple features that they've implemented but will make forging a lot easier. And I think the highlight thing is wonderful.
Oh yeah, that's probably second behind magnets. Is got to be the highlighting thing is very, very cool.
I mean, one of the things that they demoed was they had a pile of things just laying out there in the middle of this new forge world.
Yeah.
And they were able to go through and pick one specific item and pull it out. Now, granted, everything else kind of fell apart because they were all in one big pile, but he was able to pick which item that he wanted out of this huge pile that was there.
Yeah, I really liked that they had the names in the middle of the screen. That's really it's just a nice touch. It's convenient.
Oh yeah, so there's also the object name that appears under your monitor reticle on whatever object you're hovering over.
Yeah.
Lots of convenient UI things in here.
Yeah. Speaking of UI, like HUD stuff, towards the beginning of the presentation when they were flying down towards the map more and you saw like their return to battlefield thing pop up, I thought it looked just like the one from Reach. I know it's like a placeholder, but for a second, like it felt like I was watching like Halo Reach 0.5.
Yeah.
No, like, yeah, Halo Reach 0.5 or like Halo Reach 2, I mean, however you want to phrase it, you know. Just a little bit, and that's not their fault. I mean, that's more, I guess, like, it's Xbox hardware limitations at this point.
But. Well, and they're still probably working on the final assets of the Forge interface. And they said that a lot of this stuff is alpha build and is pretty much primed to be replaced by something else down the pipe.
Yeah. And they may have already replaced it, because a lot of the stuff they make as press kits, they make, like, 9 months in advance and all that type of stuff.
Yeah, they're like pre-alpha builds.
Yeah.
With, like, stability updates. It's just nice to see them showcase some of the new features, even though they might not be fleshed out yet. Mm-hmm. But seeing these new things is just kind of one of the ways that you build confidence in the community and build confidence in your customers. So what we saw in this video, I think, was very pleasing to a lot of people.
Mm.
Next on the list is the ability to lock objects. So whenever you have an object in place and you don't want it to move anywhere, you can hit left on the D-pad and you will lock an object in place. And you can't do anything with that object. You can't, like, select it or move it or accidentally bump it without unlocking it first.
Oh, cool.
It's also pretty cool.
So that also kind of goes along the lines of accidentally moving something without meaning to.
Yeah. I like the one.
So, like, if you have a certain part of your map that's done and you know you don't want to move it, you can lock everything and then go work on something else that might kind of extend off of that.
Yeah. I like the magnet feature.
Yeah. That was one. Yeah. We're getting there.
Okay.
Well, I guess we can talk about it now. You guys are drooling over it. So let's talk about magnets.
See, I'll go back to my little story from the original recording about the magnet thing. I remember a couple of years ago, I was watching this episode of Arby and the Chief, where Arby was playing around with Halo 3's Forge.
I remember that, yeah.
And he was, like, making something on Foundry, and he was, like, you know, playing with some, like, wall panel or something, trying to get it, like, aligned perfectly. He was like, why can't they, you know, include some 90-degree snapping feature for this or something? But I think this magnet thing is pretty, you know, it's helpful, and it kind of in that vein. Having things perfectly aligned and everything, yeah.
Because, right. I mean, this, also you got to think about, like, I don't know, it's a weird step Forge is taking. It's like one of these things, like, in Halo 3, you knew what a good map was because it took like 300 hours with all the geo-merging and the saving and quitting to lock objects in the air. It was a very complicated procedure. It wasn't something you could just whip up, you know? And now we have these tools being given to these basically just out there. And I don't know. It's definitely weird because now it's harder to find a higher quality map, which is something I think we saw in Reach, where it was a little more difficult to find a higher quality custom map because, you know, it wasn't easy to identify who really put the time and effort to make a perfectly crafted map. So, I don't know, that could be an issue, but.
Yeah, I could see where part of that is. But these tools also make it easier for those good map developers to make the maps even quicker.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a dual-hatted persona in a way. You have the good part where you have this tool that really simplifies and makes making maps easier for these really, really good map designers. And then it just kind of introduces things where anyone can make up a map pretty quickly and kind of saturate the universe out there of custom maps.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, that's why you usually have people that go around sharing stuff, and the things that get popular are the ones that spread around throughout communities and websites. So things like speed, things like bumper hogs, there's some infection variants.
Well, hopefully Halo 4 will have a much stronger, longer lived, kind of like Forge/custom games.
Oh, I
like
I
hope so. community/experience than Reach did.
I think.
Like Halo 3 had a way better custom game/Forge? Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Like a community.
But I think that goes back to what EJWOW was saying, that the custom map marketplace, so to speak, is so saturated with all these additional maps that it's hard to find the good quality maps. And then in Halo 3, you had these known map makers that you knew made good maps and good game types to go with these maps, and you just had a lot of fun.
It was more of an art in Halo 3 that you really had to master.
Right.
No, it was crazy. I mean, to be a good forger, you needed to go to Forge Hub to basically learn how to forge. It was nuts.
But then again, look at stuff like Jenga and monster trucks. Like, as fun as that stuff is, is it really that hard to construct and forge?
I don't know. Yeah, some of it.
It's not hard to construct, but it's hard to create a masterpiece.
Yeah.
It's just like painting. Anyone can paint. It just depends on how good the painting is and what people think of it.
It's like Fat Kid, which I thought was that was kind of uncreative, yet everyone played it.
Everyone loved it. I got tired of that map very quickly.
I don't think that's fun, to be honest.
For some reason, I always got to be the ice cream man who ran over everyone almost half the time.
And then there was Air Vent.
Air Vent?
The Vent one on Foundry.
Yeah.
Where you had all the vehicles and the fusion coils, and you threw it down the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was fun. I always call that garbage disposal or something.
I forget what the official name for it is, but yeah.
And I remember when the people are gone.
I think the one that was fun in Reach was the toilet bowl game where the. Because I remember playing those with Siete Cinco 75 and some other guys from Pontacular where you're bouncing on top of people's heads, trying to shove them down the toilet bowl and all that, trying to get them stuffed by golf ball. That was fun as hell, but yeah. Halo,
it definitely. Go ahead.
I think Halo 2 had some those were some fun customs because I think Infection back when you actually had to change teams and it was all on trust and stuff like that. I definitely think Halo 3 was the best as far as customs went.
There definitely seems to be more variety of fun custom maps in Reach. It's just it doesn't seem as well distributed because it's not as popular.
Yeah. I think they need a better way to get the maps, it didn't feel as accessible, the way the file share worked. I wish they had, a top 25 or something like that, a Billboard's hits for maps.
Yeah, they had that on BNet. They don't have that on Waypoint, though.
All right.
Wait, is there a... In Reach, can you take a picture... Can you, take a screenshot and, set it as, the screenshot of, a map or something, per se?
No.
Oh, you should be able to do that. That'd be a good idea. In Halo 4, you make a custom map, you should be able to take like a screenshot of it and then have that as like the screenshot like you see when you like select the custom app.
Didn't
like,
Karts mention that on our last recording? Wasn't that
maybe?
I think he brought it up as one of the recommended things.
That like, would definitely help because like you know Forge World, all you just see is these like these green pastures and some gray structures in the back.
Right.
You don't really get the idea what the map looks like. Yeah.
It's like
but
yeah, you know, it's like when you're in matchmaking, like the map boarding comes up. What's this map look like? What's this map look like? Asylum? Yeah,
you have no idea what it is. If you get three different Forge World maps and you haven't played them before, then you're like, okay, I have no idea what any of these are.
These maps are all, an island with a couple trees on it. You know?
At the same time, though, even if they did take a picture, I don't think I'd know what they are because they all have that same gray architecture with the green pasture. You know, it's all so aesthetically similar.
Very, like if I idyllic nature, kind of.
Yeah, if I see Countdown, I know what Countdown looks like, you know? If I see Sword Base, I know what Sword Base looks like immediately. If I see a Forge World variant, I probably won't know Trident from Renegade. I probably won't be able to tell the difference that quickly.
The thing about doing something like that, though, is if you get these people that make obscene things on some random part of the map that you don't see, and then have that as their screenshot, then that could get problematic.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be the only reason. That'd be one of the main reasons why I think they might not do something like that. So, yeah.
It's kind of like what server banners are like right now in Battlefield 3, where you just log on and then, they just have like crazy server banners. And I guess that's for all PC games, kind of, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they could do it because online interactions are not rated by the ESRB. So. I don't know. I think that's a very fine line that they have to be careful with.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that would be very nice to help differentiate custom maps.
Yeah.
All right. So moving on.
How about player trait zones?
Player trait zones are also a new addition. So anything that you'd be able to modify in a custom game type setting in terms of like base player traits, you can put in these fields similar to how capture zones and respawn zones work. You set the height, you set the width, you set the geometry, and then these traits get applied to whoever's in them. So I can see a lot of different kind of Forge maps getting pulled out of stuff like this just with these crazy additions. So if you think of the Indiana Jones map, you can basically have that on steroids with all these player fields.
Yeah.
Player trait fields.
Oh, that would be cool.
You could have like a Sonic the Hedgehog map, like have like a really fast speeds player trait zones.
I don't think you'd be able to run upside down in a big loop though.
Yeah, but it's like on Sonic those treadmill things you run on periodically, like to boost your speed, make like a player trait zone that increases your running speed.
Now, is there some sort of like are these? I didn't really get this. Were they invisible, the player trait zones? Or was there like a little marker?
They're invisible. So, well, they're not invisible in Forge, but if you think of like a respawn zone, you know how you have the white border?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't show up in the game, but it's there.
All right. I definitely could see some cool things with like VIP or something like that, or some sort of game type.
You could probably do some interesting stuff with infection game modes and race.
Oh, yeah.
Race, I think, would be a big one.
Like Mario Kart, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Let's see. One other thing that got introduced early on, which we haven't talked on yet, was the duplication mode. So whenever you're hovering on an object, you hit down on the D-pad and you instantly duplicate an object. So if you have done any Forge at all in Halo Reach, which I'm hoping everyone has at least dabbled in it who's listening to this.
Yeah.
On Hemorrhage,
more or less.
On Hemorrhage, you have the half bases that you have to pull out one half and then match the other half with it. So with the duplication, you can just take the one half that's out there, and instead of having to navigate through all the menus again, you just hit down the D-pad, you duplicate, and then you have the other half of the base. And then with the assistance of magnets, you can rotate it around and snap it to the other part of the base.
This is going to sound really out there, but I'd love some sort of Kinect integration that I could just kind of yell at it, you know, say what I want or something like that. But I hate menus. I despise menus. I hate navigating through menus. I could never play RPGs as a kid because I just hated menus.
The thing is,
and like, I'd love the Kinect sensor.
With Kinect, you kind of have to reserve yourself for what commands you allow. Like, I can I can see calling out object names.
Yeah.
I can see using that for connect. I don't want to see all this, you're okay, you're placing objects with the movement of your hands. No.
Nothing like that.
I can see, like, saying red spawn zone, and you have a spawn zone with the trait that's going to be for red team, and then you can place it down. And you could also possibly say 2x5x10, so width by height by depth or something like that. I could see them doing something with Kinect in that, but I don't want to see anything that's too extravagant with having to, actually use your body. It's just something that's purely voice.
That's true, Kinect.
Right.
No more Kinect. Just stop with the Kinect. just stop.
Not even Kinect, but voice control, I think, can have some sort of a...
I wish for voice control that you could use your headset. Because it's the same thing. It's a voice input device.
Because they're a little lazy and they want you to buy Kinect for that garbage. You know, let's face the elephant in the room. They want you to go out and buy Kinect for the voice control. They're never going to... Even though they can do it for that, they're not going to because they want you to go buy Kinect for it.
I mean, if you look at all the cool things for Kinect so far that, in my opinion, hardcore gamers have gone for, look at Skyrim. All of that is voice input. It's no body movements whatsoever. It's all of your dragon spells you do by voice command, which is a huge addition, and people love it for that. But that's a voice command. That's utilizing, like, 15-20% of Kinect's full capability.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, if you want to get into the full capability, you're doing something like Dance Central.
But see, Dusty, you're making the fatal mistake of thinking that Microsoft actually listens to the input of the hardcore gamers that have kept it afloat for years and years.
Well, I mean, there's lots of evidence that to that case not. And listening to a few other podcasts, I mean, their E3 presentation, in some people's opinions, like, okay, they're completely forgetting the hardcore gamers.
Yeah, sure. Who cares about that nonsense?
It's like Halo. We're milking for it.
Usher, I'm so gay. He's basically singing up there, as far as I'm concerned.
I didn't care for Usher.
Yeah.
I personally was like, okay, I'm seeing the Halo 4 stuff, and that's all I was really interested in.
Same. Yes, absolutely.
Now, the only other big thing I took out of E3 was Assassin's Creed. Oh my gosh, it looks so cool. And Watch Dogs. Those were the two other big games that I took out of E3 was Assassin's Creed 3 and Watch Dogs.
Watch Dogs.
Why, you don't like Watch Dogs?
No, I'm kidding. No, it looks... I don't know, it's just like... Yeah, it looks cool, but like... I don't know, nobody would shut up about it. You know what I mean?
It's like, a cool concept, though.
It is a cool concept, but it's like when E3 was going out, like, oh, you see Watch Dogs? Oh, yeah. Watch Dogs.
You could say the same thing about Halo.
Yeah, definitely about Halo.
I don't know. I guess this is like, it kind of annoys, like, once again, the personal opinion, it just kind of annoys me when people get, like, overly excited about stuff. I don't know. Like, I try to, like, maintain this, like, I kind of try to keep it cool. I get like a cool kind of excitement for stuff. I don't know. I don't like getting overly excited, and like I don't like other people getting overly excited about stuff. Like, it really annoys me actually a lot. Mm-hmm. I just find it obnoxious and just kind of like embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for them in a way. I don't know.
Then do yourself a favor and never go to PAX.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just like to keep it like at a cool level of excitement personally.
And don't hang around the heavy waypoint crew that I usually hang around with, because that's a crazy bunch. Okay, moving on. I think that covers all the Halo Forge stuff specifically. Oh, dynamic lighting. We mentioned it, but we haven't really touched on it. So whenever everyone's in monitor mode, you have this global lighting effect that you would normally see in Halo Reaches and Halo 3's Forge, where it's all static lighting. You can go anywhere in the map, and the lighting is pretty much the same. On Halo Reach, everything is dynamic lighting. So any object that you place will cast shadows on any other object and the terrain. So when at least one person is in player mode, you have a little weight message that comes up while it's rendering the dynamic lighting, and then it gets applied. So that's one of the cool things, is that you can, you actually now have shadows that get casted by forge objects instead of having this static lighting everywhere. So if you actually wanted to make a big dark cave, you could actually make a big dark cave.
Ooh, that'd be cool. For like maps where you can go like explore and stuff, like,
yeah, or like those infection ones where it's like supposed to be a dark room and the only way they can do that is by putting the visual effects on.
Oh yeah, just like spamming all the colors. Yes,
yeah, it gets annoying.
I really wish we had some weather effects or some lighting effects, but let's not do that.
That's another thing that they said.
It's like ODST, man. Engine can't do rain, you know.
There is rain in ODST.
No, there's not. No,
yes,
they talked about it. It's like, it's not rain. It's just like, it's they do a little visual effects, but it's not actual rain. And they just change your footsteps, and they change a lot of things. But the engine doesn't.
There's raindrops that come down.
There is not rain in that game.
It's not raindrops, though. I forget how they explained it, but it's not actual raindrops.
It's a facade.
It's simulated rain. It's still rain.
It's a facade.
But they just change around some lighting. They change around.
Because I had this discussion with someone else, and they went in game during the podcast, and they said, yes, it is raining.
Well, it's raining. It looks like it's raining, but it's actually not raining. It doesn't matter.
Right.
it's raining.
It's funny. It's like, it sounds like Ian's like, yeah, this realistic, weather event that happens in the real world. It's just not happening in this virtual world.
Yeah, but
I
say, it's just a matter of perception. I mean, who cares how it's physically done? It's a matter of perception.
Okay, yes, but...
I don't know. I mean, it rains in GTA 4. It just does not rain. Which came out, came out a year before ODST. Yeah, it's not raining ODST. Oh, boy, Rockstar beating Bungie on technology? Ooh.
It's a different type of game, but...
Yeah. Well, you're in a city either way in both games. Whoa, similarity. But there's no rain as far as me and Negan are concerned. So we say it so. Yeah. So does someone have a gavel we can slam down on this? There is no rain. We have decreed. Yeah.
Yeah, but they said during the RTX panel there is no weather in Forge. Mm. So hopefully that'll be something that we get in maybe Halo 5 or Halo 6 Forge.
Probably Halo 5 because it's like new Xbox.
Yeah, new Xbox. I'm hoping we get a lot of cool things with Halo 5.
You know, it's like, you can only make these use of hardware limitations for so long until it's like, so let's get a new console.
Well, right? I mean, the Xbox 360 has been out since, what, 2006? 2005?
Came out in 2005. Didn't have any games worth playing until 06 with, like, Oblivion and Gears and stuff.
Mm-hmm. So it's been around for 7 years.
What was that one Mario Party copy? Fusion Frenzy?
Yeah, Fusion Frenzy. Yeah. I remember like a popular like one of the first Xbox games was like Cameo, where the girl like the girl turns into those like creatures and stuff. That game. And like when did Viva Pinata come out? Was that 2006?
I don't know. I think that's a very old game. That wasn't a launch title. It was close to it.
No. Viva Pinata came out in 2006. Oh, yeah. Wow, look at that.
So, it's time for a technology upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I had... So, the first desktop I built myself, I had... Actually, 5 years ago. to this month, actually. And I've upgraded it at least once. So, that's in the span of, like, a 3-year turnaround in upgrading stuff.
Yeah.
You don't wait that long.
Yeah.
And that's also one of the arguments why PC gaming will beat out Xbox gaming. And there's all these arguments on whether or not consoles will beat out PC, or PC will beat out mobile devices, or mobile devices will beat out console, blah, 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 blah. That's for another roundtable.
PC gaming... No. Look, shout out to Lancelot and PK, by the way. But, PC gaming is played by a bunch of elitists. They're generally moderate in the game sense.
Are you calling me elitist?
There is that whole that whole mentality. I know what he's talking
about. For example, like the elitist, the PC gaming, I mean, they really are their own crowd. The PC gaming elitists, make no mistake about it, they are actively obstructing console gamers. Make no mistake.
Why do you say that?
Well, they just have a thing against us. They have, I think it's like a.
You're just talking about like the mentality of
the mentality.
Okay.
There's like a deep seated hatred against console gamers. They see us as inferior. Like for example, when I went on when T Fortress 2 became.
In certain ways, it is. Well, look at the graphics capabilities on computers. Look at the capabilities you have. These graphics cards with 2 gigs of DDR5, DDR6 memory that can output on crazy resolutions if they were unrestricted, running games at like 180 frames a second without any problems on 2HD, 3HD screens.
Yeah. I still find console more fun.
And mouse, you have so many more buttons with keyboards, and you have a lot more precision with a mouse than you do with thumbsticks.
Yeah, but I feel more at home with a controller in my hand.
Right.
I feel,
there are pros and cons to both sides.
I find the controller, A, more comfortable, and B, more fun than a keyboard and a mouse for gaming.
I actually remember this whole. I remember when you guys had a whole episode about this when Chucky was on. My first submission was to the PC versus console debate. I remember that.
That was probably something that we'll revisit.
Definitely.
But there are pros and cons to both sides.
Like for example, when Team Fortress 2 became free to play, I went on there. Like so, I started playing on my computer.
Team Fortress is so much fun.
And
it's a fun game.
And I found it kind of hard to aim because there's no aim assist like on console games. Like
well, and you're not used to it.
Let me finish. And so I put in the chat thing. I was kind of like half being sarcastic, but just like and just seeing like if anyone would respond. I put in the chat thing in my Team Fortress 2 game. Why is it so hard to aim? And then someone replied, I mean, I can't remember the exact quote, but it was something like, because there's no aiming assist like on consoles, you console noob. It's like
yeah. Console peasant.
Yeah, peasant, yeah. PC gaming elitist for you.
I remember you telling me about the first time you picked up TF2, and like, because like he hadn't actually, like Daft hadn't actually bought a game on Steam, so they didn't let him play with his friends, and he was too cheap to actually go in and buy some hats or something like that. So he was just going on Israeli servers trying to meet up with like his friends and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
stuff
yeah.
Like
shout out to Venom. shout out to Venom. Venom, my good friend Venom, yeah, he got into Team Fortress 2 as well when it became free to play. This is such a great story. And so yeah, neither of us actually bought anything. Yeah, really, you know, it's like cheapos, you know, we get on this, you know, free TF2, we don't want to buy anything. So yeah, we can't add each other. So me and him were talking over Xbox Live, like in a party, trying to like, just, like basically hook up like on the same server, like from the TF2 server browser. And so like, you know, the only servers we can like find to go on some hours, like weirdo like Israeli servers and like Arabic servers and like Australian servers, and they keep like kicking us and banning us and stuff. It was really weird. And then one time we got on this like weirdo server, it was like it wasn't even like an original map. It was a completely like modded, like forged, you know, user created map. It's like some weird, you know, you spawn in this weird room where everyone's just like shooting each other. You go out, you can just like, you can basically float. Like you can just keep jumping and jumping and jumping. You go higher and higher, like basically fly around the map. It was really weird. And we got outside and we like fly up really high. There's this giant billboard with like a real like, you know, picture of like Borat. Like just like copied and pasted on.
Yeah, TF2 can be a very, very interesting place.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's this picture of Borat like pasted onto this giant billboard. And on the picture, there's like text at the bottom that says, you can't get this. You can't get this. It's like, what? It was really weird. It was a really odd experience. Tangent.
That's, yeah, TF2 can be very fun if you play with the right people, but can be a very, very strange place.
Yeah. It's like that for all PC games.
And we actually had a server
for
a while.
Yeah, PC games. Yeah, go play like Gary's Mod. Yeah.
if you start playing like Counter-Strike, I remember playing Counter-Strike and just turning a corner and there's people playing Dance Dance Revolution in Counter-Strike and like there's like a darts game going. It was very confusing. It was like the second time I've played Counter-Strike and it was just completely modded. It was the most weird, like, I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like, yeah. What is this? Like,
oh yeah, like yeah, basically like
yeah.
you can only imagine like who's at that computer, like who's on the other end of there, like are they in some like dungeon playing this game like 24/7, like when's the last time they slept, like it just gives me like vibes like that.
I mean, I listen to a TF2 podcast, so granted I don't play it that much, but I've definitely played on some very, very cool servers. But let's get back on topic.
All right.
So although Halo 4 Forge stuff is pretty much covered at this point, there is no undo or redo feature. And I don't think there really needs to be with how you can lock stuff in place.
Mm-hmm.
And with the highlighting stuff. So they really give you the tools to prevent messing up what you intend to put something somewhere. So there's really no need for an undo.
An undo button is not that easy to put into. It's not like when you think about it, especially like, I mean, it's easy in like a paint or something like that program, but in a Forge program, it's not like you can just whip.
Well,
one
the
up,
reason
you know what I mean?
The reason they gave for not being able to put it in the game was limited capabilities over the network. So being able to track changes that one user does over another.
Mm-hmm.
has a lot of overhead. It may be something that we'll see with the Xbox 720 and Halo 5, but I don't think we really need it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it'd be nice. It'd be a nice touch. It'd be convenient. That's all.
Right. I mean, maybe it would have been nice to say, okay, if I'm in a single player, then I'll be able to do this. And if there's more people in here, then disable that functionality.
Yeah.
It's not critical to Forge. And all the things that we have in Forge are a blessing, really. I mean, we rattled off, what, 5, 6, 7 things right there, which are all like, oh my gosh, why haven't we had this before in Forge?
Yeah.
So, one last thing about, it's not necessarily specifically the Forge functionality, but we're going to have three different Forge-type maps. So, the first one that we saw is kind of Forge World related. There's a name for it. I forget what it is.
It's Forerunner, basically.
Yeah, the architecture that we have on the map that we saw is Forerunner. There is a name to it. I don't remember what it is. But you can tell the map that we saw is kind of smaller than Forge World. And I think that's because we have the three Forge spaces. And Frankie mentioned something about palettes. So I think all these three different Forge Worlds are going to basically be, we have different palettes, and they're not going to be very identical in layout, but they'll have similar play spaces. So we have Forerunner. I have a good feeling that one of the other ones is going to be human, so like some kind of cityscape thing.
Well, so it's like a holodeck, like from Star Trek, right? Holodeck. Changes the surroundings around you, but it's still like the same.
No, like they're physically separate maps. You can't just say, okay, I want to change what kind of palette I have. So all the objects in the demo, like, so for the map that we saw, all the objects in there are static. You can't change them. You can't change palettes or whatever. But we have three different Forge maps that basically have quote unquote different themes or palettes tied to them. So we have the Forerunner that we saw. I have a feeling that one of the ones that we're going to see is a human variant. So like the cityscape stuff hopefully is something that we'll see. And then my guess on the third one would be Covenant.
Probably.
So if we have those three, I think that'll make forging things a little bit easier. Now, we'll still probably have our good collection of gray, but there's going to be other forge spaces that we can venture into and make different. We can make these maps in a different way.
Yeah.
And I think they'll get rid of the whole gray with a splash of green here and there problem that we had in Halo Reach. Now, not saying that Forge World was a bad idea, it's just the colors were very plain.
Yes, very gray.
Especially if you look at MLG, where half of the maps are gray.
But could you really expect anything more creative than that out of MLG? Whoa, cheap shot.
Well, if they had a different palette to work with, I think they could definitely do something else. I mean, look at Foundry. Foundry at least had a little bit of color to it. Where
I like Foundry, yeah. It had a nice feel to it, the warehouse feel.
Yeah, and you had other elements in the play space that kind of made it flow and feel a little bit different. where on Forge World, you have all these gray plates. Now, yes, MLG does like to have their very solid, very structured layout, which is very Forerunner-esque, so they're probably going to use the Forerunner one a lot. But I can also see them using the Human Forge variant, and then they also use Zealot a lot, so I could see them doing some Covenant ones as well. It's just a matter of getting some different visual styles in there to help kind of change the game a little bit and make it more enjoyable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Let's move on.
Wait, one more thing about Forge.
All right.
A lot of people are like, where's the terrain editing? Where's the geography editing?
Not yet.
I think about that. It's like, so this kind of Forge system that we've had started in Halo 3, kind of was really refined in Reach, which is basically a system of like, you know, you can't edit the terrain. That's just solid. That's stuck. But you can at least edit the objects on it, and then Reach improved that with the whole, like, you know, being able to match objects into the ground, which in a way can almost sometimes be terrain editing, like kind of ish.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like effects and stuff like the coloring and saturation. So like, I think with that, like, that kind of system of foraging where like the environment isn't that changeable, but like the objects in it are. I think that's like basically reaching its pinnacle with Halo 4, how they got like the magnet thing going and like the lighting and especially the player zones are interesting. I think, and a lot of people say, oh, like, well, they, of course they could do it on this console. There's like Far Cry 2, and then there's gonna be Far Cry 3 soon. But I think like maybe like they could do it, but just not to the potential that they want. Maybe the potential, the maximum potential that they want to really, really refine it is just not completely doable on the current 360 console. So maybe, you know, they'll just wait for Halo 5 to do it with that Xbox 720. It'll be easier technologically. And then, like, with Halo 5, they can kind of, like, introduce a new system of Forge with the terrain editing kind of as the centerpiece. And just kind of, like, wait for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, I think what they'll do is like they'll have Halo 5 as like an Xbox 720 launch title, and
I don't think the timelines line up.
But I don't care about that. I think it sounds great on pen and paper. How's that?
Well, we have Halo 4 launching. This is 2012, so Halo 5 is going to be launching 2015. But the Halo or the Xbox 720 is rumored to release winter 2014.
I remember hearing a rumor that Halo 3 wasn't going to come out till the Xbox 720. I remember that.
that'd be retarded. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
We'd still be waiting.
Yeah.
It would basically be like Duke Nukem Forever.
It's like we should. Yeah.
But anyway, I just think it'd be a good
way. But they would have been able to have time to clean up the crap game that the Halo 3 campaign was.
I thought the Halo 3 campaign was all right.
In my opinion, the Halo 3 campaign is the worst out of the entire series.
The gameplay was fine, I think, but from a story perspective,
multiplayer was fine, but the campaign, oh my gosh.
No, I was talking about like the gameplay for the campaign. I thought the levels were designed well, but I don't like the story. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
Halo 4
looks awesome, though.
I just thought it would have been a good idea. Just like Halo 5, is a 720 launch title, and they could make like a Halo 5 themed 720 console, which I would buy in a second. Just a thought.
That Cortana level in Halo 3 sucked, though. I remember that.
It was pretty easy, though.
That's kind of a hot debate. It's like, yeah, the flood sucks, but like they're kind of easy at the same time. It's like
they're just not fun to fight.
Yeah, that's the point. And get a flamethrower, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
It's like you just get like shotgun. Just get a shotgun and like a plasma rifle or like a carbine or something. Like worst guns to use in the flood would be like BR assault rifle, pistol. Like basically most human weapons are horrible on the flood, except for the shotgun and like rocket.
The shotgun destroys them.
Yeah, and then like Needler is like useless. Plasma rifle is the best for like plasma like shooting weapons.
because the energy sword, it usually uses up 10 per kill, but it only uses up, like, 3 per kill on a flood, so you can just, like, slash through them like crazy.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, weird numbers, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I only have 3 left for this energy sword, yet I can still slice someone with it. I thought I needed 10 for that.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to some other things. During the panel that the Halo 4 Forge stuff was shown, Frankie did confirm that we could lower weapons, and he said drop weapons as well.
Oh, cool.
Oh, so your Spartan will look like how in the Halo 3 beta, how he looked like on the armor page or whatever. It's like the making the martial arts pose with his fists up, right?
Well, he came out later in like some interview or I think on the podcast saying that he'd been drinking a little bit, so he said he confirmed a lot. But yeah, jokes on us a little bit. Drunk but no, cool. weapons down and weapon dropping. I would question.
They need to be drunk when they're writing up those Halo bulletins. So maybe they'll give us a little bit more info. Like,
said this.
Yeah. Maybe they'll give us a little more info to our questions other than just like, oh, we don't really have answers right now, but just keep on checking back.
I like.
Yeah, at least that's better than the long drawn out dodged paragraphs.
Yeah.
At least they're to the point. It's like, we would like to talk about it, but we can't. Bam. There you go.
And notice, listeners, Dusty will defend Mothership Microsoft and 343 until the day he dies.
What do you mean Mothership? Just because I've signed an NDA with them doesn't mean I'm like head deep in their stuff. I don't work for the company.
I'm just quicker to criticize them. That's all.
I've said things against 343i and Microsoft.
Yeah, but there's still some restraint. You can sense it. You can't.
I've lost my opinion. I'm not held to any legal status other than anything that would be considered under NDA, which right now I don't have any information on Halo 4 that would be. So I basically am under no constraint right now.
Yeah. You just got to hold their feet to the fire sometimes. You know, you can't be...
Right.
Can't be
well,
too patient.
That's kind of our job as being on this podcast and part of the Halo community as a whole.
As journalists.
As
journalists with no bias.
Well, it's up to us to keep them honest. And if there's a big community outcry against something and they call your developer out on it, then they have to respond in some way.
Mm-hmm. That's generally how things work in the gaming community, right? They announce something, there's a big outcry about it, then it settles down, it accepts it, and you know the cycle continues.
Yeah.
People just there's always that like especially if you go to the official forums, like the Waypoint forums or the Bungie.net forums, there's always just constant incessant.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? That reminds me of like when who's the company that makes who's the studio that makes those infamous games for PS3? Is that Insomniac? I think it's Insomniac, right?
No idea.
I don't think so.
You know, PS3 person. You know the infamous games, though, right?
Yeah.
You've heard of them with the like, it's like the Static Shock guy. Yeah. But he's white. Oh.
Static Shock.
Yeah. But I remember when they announced like Infamous 2 a couple years ago. In the first game, the main character, he was bald. But in the second game, they were gonna give him like hair. He was gonna have like a full head of like brown hair. And all the fans were had a big outcry about it. Like, why are you giving him hair? It looks better bald. It's supposed to be bald. and like, yeah, I'm serious. You can look this up. And like, eventually the outcry was just so much, like the fans responded to it like so negatively that they made him bald in the final product.
I don't like that, though. I don't like the fans. And this kind of goes back to the...
You and Adam Sessler, we should go on like a date together. Because that's what I was getting to was like, and when this outcry happened... And they caved in and maybe reverted back to bald. You know, G4 guy Adam Sessler, who yeah. But anyway, Adam Sessler came out and he's all like, oh, well, like this is scary for the future of the gaming industry because you know this is showing that the player base has too much impact and too much sway on what the development studio does, and the development studio is just like being bullied by the player base into doing things that they didn't want to do creatively, blah 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 blah. I was like, why is that a bad thing? You know, let's have a little democracy.
I'm not blaming that on the player base. I'm blaming it on the studio for caving. They should defend their art and say, listen, we're going to put in the hair. But at the same time, I don't think the studio should abuse their fan base. It should be a healthy relationship, but you shouldn't cave.
Yeah, don't be Bungie.
Yeah, I think Bungie's good. But
I thought Bungie was a little snide with their fan base a little too many times, to be honest.
But I don't think that I don't think you should cave all the time, but I think you should be mindful of your fan base.
Yeah, listen. Basically, keep an open ear.
Fans shouldn't make the game because fans are, frankly, not always. I mean, fans never like change. They're the most.
WoW players hate change.
Well, especially with an RPG where the whole thing's grinding and stuff
like that. WoW players, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but, yeah, you know, you'll see that a lot. And I don't think studios should cave too much.
No, but they should still take input.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that himself needs to shut his trap. And not be so afraid about democracy in the gaming industry.
It's not democracy, and it's not the player's fault. I think because you're always, like I said, you're always going to have a studio should expect that. A good balance between community and creativity. I mean, that's what you need.
Yeah. I used to actually like Adam Sessler, but he started annoying me more and more.
All right, let's get back on topic here. We've kind of diverted off and we need to get back on track.
Yeah, definitely.
And get this kind of wrapped up. So we had Daft had an article on the Halo 2 a rumor about a Halo 2 anniversary being made. So you want to talk about that a little bit, Daft?
I've heard that's since been debunked, though.
It's a rumor.
It's a rumor.
Says you.
Rumor has it. Ooh, rumor has it. Ooh, rumor has it. Rumor has it.
Yeah, that song.
It's kind of obnoxious. He's just saying the same thing like 10 times.
Yeah, I really don't like it.
Yeah, not as good as other ones, let me find the article. Do edit this out.
It's on Game Informer.
Here it is.
On Game Informer.
Yeah. So, according to the rumor section of the official Xbox magazine, a remake of Halo 2 is currently in development. It says here, quote, following the success of remake Halo Anniversary, 343 Industries has now started development of Halo 2 Anniversary, unquote. There's no real evidence, but this is from official Xbox magazine, so who knows. And then it's got everyone talking. Everyone's like, Halo 2 Anniversary. But before I finish reading the rest of this article, let's talk about that. How do you guys feel about a Halo 2 Anniversary, of the possibility of that?
So that's a matter of, do you really want the developers to take time away from Halo 5, making Halo 5 great?
They don't need to just hire more people. Simple as that. You stimulate the economy and stimulate the jobs market. It's a good thing.
Right. So they basically pulled on Certain Affinity, which had worked on Halo 2 map packs, Halo 3 map packs, and they did Halo Reach stuff as well. So they were, I don't know how involved they were with Anniversary. I think they actually reached out to someone else. I could be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But if you get those kind of people that know the game, have worked with the tools before, and can put out something like that, I think it'd be probably pretty good. I'd buy it because I'm a Halo fan.
My thing with Halo 2 is, the thing with Halo 2 is it's so ingrained in the game or the glitches. Like, I can't imagine playing Halo 2 without a BXR. I can't imagine without a super bounce or a BYB or a quad shot. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine playing that game without any of those glitches.
This is all just flying over my head.
So that was one of the things that we talked about in the last recording that didn't get recorded. But it's, yeah, I'm shooting myself in the foot for that now. There's, in my opinion, I wouldn't mind those glitches taken out. And if they did something like they did with Anniversary, where they just brought parts or certain maps back into, I guess, Halo 4 as a map pack.
Yeah.
And just redid the graphics for Halo 2, then that wouldn't be a problem. Granted, I don't know how many people would like it.
I'd pre-order the heck out of that.
Well, I would too.
So yeah, you're saying just remake the campaign and then just do the same thing as the Anniversary for Halo 1. Just add
I have
some
a feeling
remade.
That's what they would do. I don't think they would go through and remake every single Halo 2 map because they already remade 1 and kind of 2. Yeah.
Well, three, oh, actually, yeah, if you think about it, three.
Headlong.
Well, they had Headlong, which was
Halo
Which was Halo 2 only, and then they pulled from Battle Canyon from Halo 1, but it was also Beaver Creek in Halo 2.
Beaver Creek is the sh**.
So there was that, and then there was Tombstone in Halo 2, which was the remake of Hang 'em High from Halo 1.
Yeah.
Which is now High Noon in Halo Reach.
The only,
so in
the
essence,
only,
you have three Halo 2 maps already.
I know what you mean, but the only I only count Headlong personally as the true Halo 2
and then
map.
Then Containment is Hemorrhage. So that's four maps in a sense.
Right. Oh, not Containment. You mean Coagulation.
Did I say Containment? Yeah, I meant
Coagulation.
Coagulation. Sorry.
But Hemorrhage is really its own thing.
Yeah, it's not really that much of a Blood Gulch replica.
Yeah, it's too straight. It's not curved enough.
Yeah.
No. It's Blood Gulch bases with a coagulation.
The middle lane is too wide.
They didn't make a road. Mm-hmm. Like, cause you know how like Coagulation can like have like a road on it, you know, like a little path.
Yeah.
There's not really one on Hemorrhage very much.
No.
There's kind of just like the geographic like the terrain is like it's kind of in the shape, but like not really.
It's like you would have people purposely driving down this path to get to base, but now people just fly straight down the middle because it's so open.
And everyone just like flies right over the hill in the middle like it's a jump, it's a ramp basically.
It's like the layout is the same, but the terrain is not.
Yeah. That's what we think it would be, like remake the campaign and pick some of the fan favorite Halo 2 maps and remake them and then add them to Halo 4 as like DLC.
Yeah, I would think that's how they would do it.
Yeah, because in Frankie's wording, they wouldn't want to disrupt the Halo 4 ecosystem, quote unquote,
or the development
by reviving Halo 2 multiplayer suite.
Well, and then Halo 2 already exists on the PC as Halo 2 Vista.
Go on, buy Halo 2 Vista.
It's cheap. You can get it relatively cheap. You can probably get it for $15.
It has achievements. I got them all. They were hard.
Well, not all of them were hard.
Well, yeah, a couple were like the.
I'm still missing.
The golden gun thing or whatever that was
got all of them, right?
I did get all of them, yeah. Like the golden gun one where you get like the plasma rifle that shoots the fuel rod shots.
Yeah.
That was horrible. That was awful.
The scarab gun.
Yeah. Scarab gun, you got like a guy this
big. Yeah, on one of my gamer tags, I don't have that achievement. I don't have Rain Man and I don't have Decorated. I have three achievements that I'm missing.
Oh, lesson for all studios who make multiplayer games. Never, ever, ever make achievements for your game that is something like, you know, play a bunch of matches or on like blah, blah, blah map, play a bunch of, you know, because it's like, you know, the older your game gets, the harder it is to be, you know, the harder it's going to be to accomplish that. Like with Halo 2 Vista, we got to like arrange people to do it now, basically. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, multiplayer achievements.
There are some where it's like, yeah, that'd be make sense to put in there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, the ones in Halo 3 are a pain. The FFA ones?
Because the FFA was such a terrible decision. Yeah. I can't tell you how many times I've killed two people with a Spartan laser.
But it's team.
But FFA. Exactly.
Yeah, it's team. Which awesome. Sucks.
I got a lot of those FFA achievements completely, absolutely, legitimately, no questions asked.
It's impressive.
No. No.
I got the monk running over one completely legitimately. There was a guy who was idle.
Yeah, I got the monk. Yeah, me too.
I just him up for those scout shoulders. That's all I wanted. I wanted those scout shoulders so desperately.
I got the mongoose mode down on Isolation.
Nice.
Which was Isolation. I don't like that map.
Two.
That map.
I did
no
too.
Yeah.
It's
I got
just
the killing.
Of,
oh, go on.
It was just kind of out of random coincidence.
Yeah, I got the killing frenzy. One legitimately, also in Isolation. I got in the ghost and just like splatter people and stuff.
It's not that difficult if you're a pretty good hitter, an intermediate like leveled player on Halo. I mean, you could probably get like a killing frenzy. It's not that difficult. You know, just get like a power weapon, get a shotgun. You can get one and like, you know, it's not that difficult. Or you know where it's really easy is the swords game type.
Swords.
Like, you remember that free for all swords? That was the.
I didn't care for that because everyone was just like you know, everyone was getting those like lock on like duels, you know. It was just obnoxious.
It was like a giant Jedi fight. That's how I got the triple sword achievement in FFA. I think it was through one of those game types. But it was. It was so much fun. It was like a Jedi game type. It was awesome.
Yeah. It's like Attack of the Clones when they're all in that arena. But they're not fighting each other. They're fighting the droids.
I know what you mean, though, but you had to be sealed because there was like a melee strike that was faster than the regular right trigger strike.
Yeah, I hated that.
You always had to go like alternate melee bash with like the long. Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah.
I always just do the lunge myself. I never like did it.
No. You only do lunges if they're longer away from you, but you always do the melee bash if they're up close because it's faster.
I guess so. It's like Griffball rules, kind of, right?
Yeah. Well, Griffball's a whole science in itself. I don't even know how that works. Because there's like that whole strategy where you got to kill someone first and like fly off their corpse to get the. Yeah, it's a whole thing. I don't know.
But okay, here's my recipe for success for 343. 343, you want to be a powerhouse. You want to be a Halo powerhouse. Do this. Get certain affinity to make Halo 2 Anniversary. Get Robot Entertainment to make Halo Wars 2, and then have your core staff make Halo 5. Like, have this holy trinity of development going on.
That would probably be the best way to do it.
Yeah, simple as that.
Yep. There, now, we got a plan for you. Jess, make it happen. I know you're listening.
Yeah. Even though she probably hates me by now, but...
I don't think so. She still listens to it.
Healthy critique.
Nice of her.
But I liked her
Forge porn that she put on her blog. That was very nice for her to put that.
What, a bunch of anime girls made of like blue spawn points?
Yeah.
When are we going to get a fully integrated Forge porn system?
Oh gosh. Let's not feed the masses.
But for Reach, we didn't need that because we had Cat. Don't you understand? Remember all those Cat screenshots at the beginning of Reach's lifespan?
Yeah, those are ridiculous.
Those were ridiculous. I remember because Daff would send me like 6 a day. I'm like, Daff, I don't want you to get my files yet.
But what are you guys' predictions for the assets of the girls in Halo 4?
Well, the armor they're wearing is unisex, so it really shouldn't matter.
Right.
So too bad for you.
I mean, it wasn't Bungie basically a bunch of middle school boys, kind of like sense of humor, right? So like that's why they did that. But
what, having the different armor for?
Yeah, having the
male and female. I don't necessarily think so.
The proportions.
It just makes sense to have the different genders there.
Gender. Yeah, but like, I mean the shape, like their physique. You know what I mean, Dusty? Come on, you're a guy. Right?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, why not? They're supposed to make all the armor is supposed to be custom made anyways to fit.
Whoever's
wearing them.
But I think Spartan 2's armor is unisex. I remember reading that somewhere, so.
Yeah.
Well, but the underlying, like, the black exoskeleton did fit. Mm-hmm. Like, the armor pieces, yeah. But, like, the under armor pieces were, I mean, they basically fit to the person that was wearing it.
But then again, you think in the Spartan, I guess, at least in the Spartan 2 program, wouldn't they pick out girls who, like, genetically would be like just like tall and slender, not like hourglass, like super curvy.
They'd probably
it wouldn't be like a combat efficient.
They'd probably look like those Olympic swimmers, you know what I'm talking
about? Not tall. Yeah. Like there was so Kelly, who was a sniper, was like
shout out to Piggy Oink Oink, right?
Short was the shortest in John's squad, but she was by far the fastest and she was the best sniper on the team.
Mm-hmm. Wait, wasn't Linda the sniper? Linda was the sniper, yeah.
Sorry, Linda.
Kelly was the fastest, Linda was the sniper. You're getting...
Right, okay, sorry.
Kelly, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And Kelly is with Dr. Halsey, who knows where they are.
They're going to Dairy Queen.
I hope they don't...
Which is Kelly's favorite restaurant.
According to Frankie, they're going to make some kind of appearance in Halo 5 and 6.
I hope not. I don't want to integrate the book.
Expanded universe, not for the expanded universe.
They're doing that in Halo 4.
Yeah, and that makes
Frankie
me so
said
mad.
That.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Egan, this is a
perfect I'm ecstatic
place.
For it.
Yeah, I'm ecstatic. No, Egan, this is perfect. The people are listening to you. Voice your frustration with 343 releasing too much content at once and how you don't to read.
The thing is, I don't want to have to read a book in order to fully understand a game. You know what I mean?
They're not going to pull stuff in like that to where you would have to read the book in order to understand it. They're going to be smart about it and at least dumb it down enough to where you can get a sense of what's going on.
Damn casuals. No, but Egan, you feel like they're releasing too much content at once. So all like Cryptum and like Silentium and
I feel like I hear about some new book every 5 minutes that they're releasing. Like, I don't really care, to be completely honest. I just want to play a game. I don't really want all this crap, to be completely honest. I don't want all this books, all this extended fiction.
I mean, that's not for some people. So
I mean, yeah, I know what you mean, but part of me wants to read it. Like, I am reading through the books, but I feel like they're giving me too much to the point I'm like, all right, like, I don't want to read any of it anymore. It's like,
but you know, but they're not like forcing you to read the books. They're not making the game in such a way where you have to read the books in order to know what's going on.
But I want to read the books, but I feel like it's content overload. I feel like there's too many books.
But that's your choice.
I don't think it's too much content. Like, they're not going like, it's not as bad as it possibly could be. But I know what he means, though. Like okay, for example, well, by the way, if you guys want to go check out on Halo Waypoint, they showed off the cover of the next Forerunner book, which is called Silentium, and it's coming out in January of 2013. So Thursday War is coming out in October. Silentium comes out in January. That's like 3 months apart. I mean, they are kind of releasing books like crazy, like as far as book releases go, in my opinion. I mean,
they are.
It's like boom, boom. I mean, they're really trying to make it into the next Star Wars, like totally fully fledged next Star Wars, like this mega franchise now, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just kind of an observation.
Right.
So what's going to be the Phantom Menace then? What's going to be the
Phantom Menace? Their flop.
Yeah.
All right.
These are all tangents. This all goes back to Halo 2 Anniversary. I would love that. They don't need to like remake the multiplayer. Just add some DLC to Halo 4, and many, many people, myself included, would love to see the campaign remade. That'd be awesome. But to finish reading this article, so that was the original story. It's possibly in development, rumor, and then I got an update today. It says here, Halo series developer 343 Industries has reportedly denied that a Halo 2 Anniversary is in the works. It says here, they said, quote, "We are not working on that at this time. We are kind of busy," unquote. said an unidentified 343 representative. Which reminds me a lot of like the one of the final scenes in the 1970s Willy Wonka movie, where Grandpa Joe goes up to Willy Wonka and he's like, Willy Wonka, what about the chocolate for Charlie? And he's like, "I'm kind of busy, sir."
Oh, yeah, I remember that scene. That's an old movie.
It is.
That's a great movie. Gene Wilder is an excellent actor.
I don't know what was more weird, either that movie or the book. Because I read the book. The
book is weird. Yeah, I've read the book, too. It's
and then
weird.
I read the sequel to that. That one's even weirder.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah, I'll bleep them out.
Yeah, that's yeah.
I fussed a little bit too much.
Yeah, Roald Dahl was he was kind of weird.
I haven't seen the new one, and I don't plan
to. Yeah, you don't want to.
I don't plan to.
The Gene Wilder one still is the best.
Yeah, you know, but first, on a side note, Maroon 5 did a cover of that Pure Imagination song that he sings in the movie. Adam Levine sounds kind of weird. Which, by the way, the new Maroon 5 album which came out was horrible.
Yeah, it's Maroon 5. Horrible? It's not that.
The thing with Maroon 5 though is their music has gotten progressively worse over the years. Like it's just gone down in quality. Like their first album, it was like soul rock. It was some deep stuff. It was all right. Yeah.
It got modernized.
Anything that gets modernized
dies.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they completely turn into like a pop rock.
Like Lady Gaga, Nicki Minaj.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, they became all
Beyonce.
Pop rock.
Let's go to the beach.
Moves like Jagger, as catchy as that song is, it was like the final like nail in the pop coffin from Maroon 5. Like that just solidified it. They're a pop band now. They're not soul rock anymore. They're just like, what am I even listening to anymore?
I mean, he's a talented musician. It's just the Adam songs. Levine. Yeah.
Look. The first two Maroon 5 albums, Songs About Jane and It Won't Be Soon Before Long, were good. Some parts of the third one, Hands All Over, were all right. That's it. After that, no more.
Right. Right.
It's personal opinion.
I agree with that, actually.
I will defend the first two Maroon 5 albums and parts of the third until the day I die.
But anything else after that is like, eh. Is it just me, or is a lot of music nowadays is a collaboration between artists?
Oh,
definitely. Okay, no, Maroon 5 loves pulling people onto their stuff. It's like, no.
Well, it's not just Maroon 5. It's a lot of other people as well.
You know the Coldplay? Okay, for Coldplay, for their Viva La Vida album, one of the songs, like, they got Jay-Z to come on and do it with them, but it was so horrible that they didn't even, like, put it in the final product. And then they just, like, put on, like, this B-side thing that they released, like, a year after. And it's pretty terrible. Side note. Although, what's weird is that Rihanna did a collaboration with Coldplay in their newest album.
We're going to need to wrap this up real quick.
Which was kind of mixed. And then Rihanna did a Maroon 5 one, which is, screw that. I don't like collaborations. Just do your own thing. We don't need Rihanna. We don't need Jay-Z. Yeah, we don't need Christina Aguilera. We don't need that. We don't need any of that. Ugh. Yark. Lady Antebellum. We don't need that either.
Yeah. I mean, there are some people out there that are good and I think will stay good for a while. But
if we're on the music, I'm just going to plug real quick, Frank Ocean coming out, Channel Orange. That's all my stuff, Pyramid is a sweet song. For all of you into the R&B and rap like I am.
So. Yeah. There's supposedly a fourth Daft Punk album in the works right now, which, Frank Ocean, a new Daft Punk album is an absolute event that everyone must attend. In the world of techno, don't listen to dubstep. It's all the same. It's all just like wub 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 wub. Like house music is house music is so much better in my opinion. And Radiohead is cool, and so is Blur. But you're only a true Blur fan if you listen to a song that is not sung to.
Woohoo!
Yeah, woohoo! Yeah. It's much better stuff.
Woo-hoo.
He wrote that song as like making fun of grunge. It's a parody, right?
It's weird, and it's like one of those songs that just like topped the charts. It's like, wow, that's kind of really cool.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, let's wrap this up. Oh wait, we didn't cover the 8 gig install.
Oh no, we did. We did a whole episode about that. What are you talking about?
You mean the one that didn't record?
No, we know. Not Venom. Dusty, go on the website. You're losing your mind. Did you have Alzheimer's? Go on the website right now. Look, I'm looking at it right now. It says, it's loading. Podtacular. Now, 298. Halo 4 update. The 8 gigabyte install also strikes a conversation, and we would love to hear your opinions on it.
Oh, we talked about it last time?
Yeah, we already did.
We did.
Dusty,
then why did we talk about it again?
Because it's... I don't know, it's such a big issue. It's like people always, it's like people are debating about it. Is it a tax on your hard drive? Is it not a tax on your hard drive? Or is it an individual mandate on your hard drive? I mean, what is it? Nobody even knows anymore. But look, basically, my platform on the issue is I can handle it because I have a 250 gigabyte hard drive. Therefore, it's a non-issue. Because it doesn't negatively affect me, it's a non-issue for everyone. How's that? And people who can't handle it, unfortunately, I mean, it's sad, but they need to keep up with the times and the technology if they want to play the newest games like Halo 4.
Right.
Yeah.
Actually, we didn't get any emails on that. I was hoping people would actually write in about it, but no one's commented, so. Oh, well.
Everyone's keeping up with the time.
So, okay. Well, that pretty much is a wrap for this show. If you have any comments on any of the stuff that we talked about tonight, including Halo 4 Forge or the rumor on Halo 2 Anniversary, please feel free to email us. And the email for that is submissions@podtacular.com. We would love to hear what you guys think. And also comment on the 8 gig install because we still want to know what you think about that as well.
And join the forums,
Join the forums.
Yes.
That's a must.
We talk about Michael Savage. We talk about politics. We talk about other games. We talk about Bungie's new IP.
We're going to have a show on that at some point. We will have a show on that.
Yeah, politics and Michael Savage. That's what we'll have a show on.
And the Bungie IP is what I meant.
Yeah.
But yeah, Daft will have his politics show at some point as well.
Yeah. On that show, I will make a hilarious joke about the election day and significance.
Yes. Also, you can call or listener voicemail and leave a message that way. The number for that is 206-339-6937.
Ooh.
Yep. Or you can send an audio file through email as well.
Yeah, we still got to collect all the audio logs so we can, hearsay story. Yeah, kill the cop in the freezer, exactly. Oh.
He's already dead. I've killed him plenty of times. Anyways.
That was really fun, killing a human, like, for once.
Yeah, for a reason, without being at, like, team betrayal, and then they get mad at you. Yeah,
killing a cop. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Not that killing a cop is a good thing in real life, but in Halo, he was a corrupt cop anyway, so it's justified. Yeah, he shot at me first, so it's self-defense, actually.
Yeah, my reticle turned red, officer. It's okay.
Exactly.
Oh, only if that happened in real life.
Oh, come on, Dusty. Hey.
Also, make sure you check out Monday Night Matchmaking. 8:30 Eastern, 5:30 Pacific.
Yeah, message me or message Cars or Dusty or and come play a matchmaking with us or customs.
That's 1:30 GMT or British time. All right. Make sure you check out the beta forums as well. I actually am planning to do a lot of updates this weekend on that.
Awesome.
One thing I would like to plug before we wrap this up is a website called HaloUnity.com. Anyone who is familiar with Halo charts or Halo challenges is familiar with Firestream. He's a big web developer and has come up with this website where all these communities can come together and share events, share info, share anything that they do. So there's, I think, over 70 communities represented right now over on Halo Unity. So make sure you go over and check it out. There's achievements, there's credit system, there's a ranking system, there's things you can buy. You can go and join under our group that we have. There's a Podtacular community that you can go and sign under. And for people that are current members of the forums, if you go over there within the next couple of days when I get the award uploaded to the site, you will be able to get an award for being a member of the original forums.
Awesome.
Which will get you a decent amount of credits and XP that you can use.
For what?
You can buy items like medals and stuff.
Awesome.
Ooh.
So go over there and check it out. It's really cool. They've done a very good job with it, and they're still kind of in the beta stage, but it's fully functional, and there are a lot of cool changes coming down the road. And I had the privilege of being on their first show, and where they talked to a lot of community members. So definitely go check it out.
That's cool.
And sign up.
It's in beta stage, like something else that's been in beta stage for quite a long time.
That's why I'm working on the forums a lot this weekend.
Okay. So, I mean, spring break is almost over. You better, get a move on.
My spring break is still going on. What are you talking about?
Well, actually, me and Egan are on a really long spring break right now. It's called summer, so thank God.
So you'll give me to the end of your spring break to get it done, right?
Sure, yeah, there you go.
Right. I'm hoping to have it fully done by PAX. That's my new
which
deadline.
Is when?
Which is the end of next month, which is starting, it's right, August 30th. 31st through September 2nd.
Yeah, I think like healthy, like, you know, maximum, like latest time should be like a month before Halo 4, you know, like latest, just to be like healthy and like safe and prepared. And
so I will be working on that this weekend.
Ooh.
Thanks again for listening, guys. I know this came out earlier than we told you our next one was going to be out, and as you probably heard by the title, this is point one. We're going to have a point two for after Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, which is this weekend. So we're hoping that we get some more new Halo 4 news out of Comic-Con, which it seems like from the email and Twitter traffic I've seen, they're going to have a decent presentation there for Halo 4. So make sure you stay tuned for that. And actually, the day of this recording, there was some info that came out about some Forward Unto Dawn behind-the-scenes stuff, and we'll cover that in the next show as well.
Yeah.
All right. So until next time, guys, keep on fragging trucks.